This is Straight Outta Vegas.
Straight Outta Vegas!
With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell.
Pay that man his money.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
Live from the Vegas Strip, the pregame show America has always wanted. With RJ Bell out, here's Bernie Fratto.
You know, I'd like to thank Jim Harbaugh for participating in the 2019 college football season. Please pick up your parting gift on the way out, but I digress. Hold that thought. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. So visit geico.com for a free rate quote. College football is raging. Football is raging. And between now and February 2nd, 2020, you better fasten your seatbelt, put your tray tables forward, your seat backs upright, because it's time for takeoff and you are all coming along for the ride. This is the weekend edition of Straight Outta Vegas. You know, Straight Outta Vegas airs Monday through Friday right here on Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, from 3 to 4 Pacific, 6 to 7 Eastern, with RJ Bell, Steve Fezzik, Brad Powers, and Jonas Knox. And in case you missed it, for the remainder of the football season, we'll be joined in studio by America's favorite rockin' tour. That would be Mr. Steve Fezzik, the only two-time winner of the prestigious Hilton, now Westgate Super Contest. Yes, the inimitable Mr. Steve Fezzik. And as they say in Chanhassen, it's going to be lit. This is Straight Outta Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. Steve, before we look ahead to the busy NFL slate, just very quickly, some revisionist history. Jim Harbaugh, now 0-8 as a dog, 2-9 versus AP top 25 teams. The program, the Michigan Wolverines, they're 0-15 in their last 15 against AP top 15 teams. Michigan has not won a game at Camp Randall at Wisconsin since 2001. They lose today in ugly fashion. Now, why do I bring that up? Because, Steve, we talked about this last week. One of our favorite events here in Las Vegas, you get to about Memorial Day, and all the look-ahead lines for the quote-unquote, I air quotes, games of the year, and one of them was Michigan-Wisconsin. And that game opened up what, Steve?
I believe it was Michigan minus 7, right? That's
exactly what it was. And this week, Wisconsin was minus 3.5. The reason I'm throwing a flag, and if you've been listening to me, and if you listen to the college football extravaganza shows that I did with Brad Powers, I told you Harbaugh will screw this up. I'm not going to go into detail why. We've got too many other things to get to tonight that you'd rather hear about. But let me just say this about this. Wisconsin never should have been a 7-point dog at home. Whoever had Michigan power rated that high, shame on you. I digress. Steve, you got the floor on Michigan-Wisconsin, and then we're going to move along.
Well, I think Harbaugh is a classic bully. Sure, he can go ahead and run up the score on some punching bag, but whenever he's had to play a good team, he has failed at Michigan. And I got to tell you, as a professional bettor, and that's what I'm doing during Saturday, is I'm wagering on games oftentimes while they're going on. Anyone who watched this game, this was not like UCLA-Washington State, which keeps going back and forth. This game was over. After the first quarter, it was 14-0 Wisconsin. They're running the ball down Michigan's throat. And I don't think anyone who's watching this game expected a Michigan comeback, and it did not happen. A rare case where there's a blowout final score, 35-14. I don't think it even represented how much Wisconsin really dominated this game.
Completely. Almost 500 yards. They took their foot off the gas. I'm tired of hearing about Don Brown's defense. Wisconsin's All-American running back, Jonathan Taylor. Look, he could have run for 300 yards. He missed half the game. They took him in the back. He had some cramps. He still had 200. By the way, if you're scoring at home, and I hope you are, in Michigan's last three games, to your point about when Harbaugh steps up in competition, their last three games against ranked teams, Ohio State last year, Florida in the bowl game, and today Wisconsin, they've given up 138 points. I rest my case.
And the love for this team is unbelievable, Bernie. That Ohio State game, people might look back and then say, what was the point spread then? How many was Ohio State laying? No, Ohio State was catching 4.5 points. Just too much love for Michigan in these big games.
This will be a developing story, trust me. I worked in that market for 14 years, kept all my moles. I was on the phone a lot today. That's a tease. Look ahead. There may be some developing news. No, Harbaugh's not going to get fired. I'll tell you that right now. But hold that thought, because we'll have some stuff for you as the season goes on. Steve, it's been an odd season in the NFL from the standpoint, in light of all of the rules changes which protect the quarterback, there are no less than 7 quarterbacks that will take the field tomorrow and Monday that weren't part of the opening, you know, that wouldn't have been projected as opening day starters. So let's, let's kind of do a quick rapid fire here, because these things matter and they affect the point spread. And if they affect the point spread, they affect you the better. And we want to help get you that edge. Let's head out to San Francisco, where the Pittsburgh Steelers are conveniently 6.5-point dog. Big Ben out, Mason Rudolph in. Steve, what is the point value with Ben not being there?
Yeah, I have it as a 6-point differential from Big Ben, a healthy Big Ben, to Rudolph. And one has to question, was Big Ben healthy at any point during the year? You know, Vegas actually feels that Big Ben was even more valuable. Last week, the spread on this game, Pittsburgh was -1. Now, 1 week later with Rudolph in, Pittsburgh is catching points, +6.5. I think that's an overreaction. And Pittsburgh's high on Rudolph. Obviously, they wouldn't have traded around away their first-round draft pick if they didn't feel like Rudolph was going to lead them to some significant number of wins.
That's an excellent point, and I'll have a lot to say about that game in just a few minutes, including an angle that I think you'll be able to take advantage of as a better. Let's head to Seattle, the great Northwest. The New Orleans Saints, sans Drew Brees, will visit Russell Wilson and company. Teddy Bridgewater will start. You may see some Taysom Hill also. What's the point differential now that Drew Brees is not available?
I have this as a 6-point downgrade to Teddy Bridgewater. Now, Vegas doesn't feel that it should be that big of a downgrade, Bernie. They're high on Bridgewater as a good backup. It's not what I've seen, not what I saw week 17 last year and so far this year, where Bridgewater has looked rough. He's looked worse than Taysom Hill, frankly, who has been playing in preseason. And so because of that, I don't think that this spread has moved enough. Seattle was a 1-point favorite last week in this game. Now Seattle's laying 4.5.
And as our on-site jack-of-all-trades Sleepy J pointed out off air, Teddy Bridgewater just simply hasn't been the same since that devastating knee injury. The Jets, J-E-T-S, Jets, well, they fall all the way to their third string from Darnold to Simeon to Falk. Makes it a little complicated. What are the Jets? How do you quantify that in terms of points for the Jets now, considering Simeon last week was less than Falk will be?
So we'll start out with Darnold and the free fall all the way to Falk. I have that as a 5-point difference in quarterbacking. And frankly, I'm just not that high on Darnold. I have him as my number 23 quarterback in the NFL, but still obviously a significant downgrade to totally unproven Falk, who frankly played better than Simeon last week. But 5-point difference, what's happened to this spread? Well, we've seen New England go from a 14-point look-ahead line to New England laying 21 in this game against the Jets.
They were as high as 23. All right, moving along. Carolina, Cam Newton will not play tomorrow. It doesn't appear he's going to play. They will start Kyle Allen.
Yes, and I have this as a 4.5-point downgrade, a healthy Cam Newton to Kyle Allen, who played week 17 and started and did play well in that game for Carolina. But here's the key aspect of this game that I think Bernie Vegas has gotten wrong. There's been a big line move in this game. Carolina was -3. Now Carolina is catching 2 points. So a 5-point line move here, although it did go through the zero, so not quite 5 points. But that assumes that Kyle Allen is 5 points worse than Cam. But that, you got to remember, Cam was already banged up. We already knew Cam wasn't close to 100%. He's run the ball only 5 times this year. He has 0 rush yards. He's been very inaccurate. I think this is an overreaction to this injury because, frankly, Cam was already being priced in as not being 100%. I think Carolina +2 has some value.
Now, I want to reference a game that's already been played, but nonetheless, it fits into our subject matter here. The Jacksonville Jaguars, Nick Foles, Super Bowl champion Nick Foles, goes down. Gardner Minshew, America's favorite Minshew, steps in. You know, Steve, I once stayed up late and bought some Minshew knives on TV. They work really well. Be here all week, folks. Enjoy the veal.
I like the stash. I like what I've been seeing from Mr. Minshew. I have him as only a 3-point downgrade right now from Foles. When the news first came out about Foles being injured, I had it as a bigger downgrade, but I've upgraded Minshew and Jacksonville.
And in your notes, you had 3. It was worth about 3 points?
Yes, 3 points currently.
All right, let's go to the New York Giants. Eli steps down graciously after a 116-116 career record, two Super Bowls, two Super Bowl MVPs. Daniel Jones steps in. Daniel Jones was the rage of the preseason. They head down to Tampa Bay. This is, for me, the most interesting number of all of them.
Yes. So I know Daniel Jones was great in preseason, and they game planned for him, and he completed about 85% of his passes. But I still have, at this current point in time, Eli is the better quarterback by 1 point. Now, I'm not saying this will be the case at the end of the year, but right now I have Eli as the better quarterback. However, I think that the change to Jones is going to go ahead and give the Giants some excitement because they know they're going nowhere right now with Eli. And because of the change, I think that there's going to be a net positive impact because all the other players on the Giants will play harder with Jones starting in his first game.
I find that to be very interesting and nuanced talking point because Daniel Jones could energize that locker room. How do you quantify that? You just did. Our final game, the Miami Dolphins catching 22 and a half, up from 21 at Dallas. Ryan Fitzpatrick, Fitzmagic, not so much. Josh Rosen steps in.
Yes, so Josh Rosen comes in, and the market moved a point out. The spread went up from 21 to 22 and a half, and how curious, that's exactly where I have these two quarterbacks rated. I have Fitzmagic a point and a half better than Rosen, so I think that it was a proper mathematical adjustment. But I got to wonder, Bernie, if we got a team that's not playing hard for Fitzpatrick, how hard are they going to play for Rosen, a guy that's, frankly, there's been some talk about his teammates and his relationships with them and how good it is. It might be a very ugly situation in Miami.
We'll have to see. I think they'll play hard. Rod Marinelli once told me, the head coach of the Lions, last year I covered the Lions 2008, everything you do is on tape. 100% of what you do is observed 100% of the time. If you want a job in this league, you're going to be on tape. You better play hard. Let's roll back the tape. How's that for a segue? Steve, last week you teased something in what you called Fez's look ahead. And at Showtime last week, you teased ahead last week to tomorrow's Denver-Green Bay game. At the time, Green Bay laying 6.5. I liked it. I grabbed it. They're now up to 7.5. Talk about that game tomorrow because you have two angles on that game.
Yeah, so professional bettors are always looking for value wherever they can get it. And last week, this line was sitting at 6.5. And I got to tell you, Bernie, I was like, wow, that looks cheap to me. And I went ahead and I did bet that. It was all about Denver having a they were in a really good spot last week. The altitude advantage in Denver early in the year has been tremendous. How good has it been? Well, prior to last week, Denver was 33-3 straight up in weeks 1 and 2 of the NFL season. And they failed. They did not win that game against Chicago despite that altitude advantage. So Denver goes from a great situation last week to, I'll argue, a bad situation this week where they have to go to Green Bay, a team that I have rated as tied for my number one home field advantage in the NFL. Seattle and Green Bay, I give 4 for home field advantage. And it's a Green Bay team that has certainly upgraded their defense, both of the Smith linebackers that they brought in and Amos. I think Green Bay is greatly improved on defense. And you know what? Maybe Denver's gotten worse on defense. No sacks year to date. How can that be?
They've sent a search party for Von Miller. That's how that can be. He is Steve Fezzik. I'm Bernie Fratto. Up next, we tackle the entire NFL slate. We get to a key Week 3 trend you're going to hear about and a heartfelt apology from me, along with my first of 2 best bets. I'll explain. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. This is the pregame show you always wanted, so don't go away. You're listening to Straight Outta Vegas.
Straight Outta Vegas!
We are back on Straight Outta Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. I'm Bernie Fratto, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. And I want to remind you, Straight Outta Vegas is brought to you by Discover. You want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn at the end of your first year automatically, with no limit to how much will match. Millions of people a year are getting their cash back matched. Discover Cashback Match. What are you waiting for? Learn more at discover.com/cashback match. Steve, here at the Straight Outta Vegas compound, we discovered a Week 3 trend that really bears attention. And it involves Week 3 teams going home playing their first NFL road game. Their first NFL home game of the season after playing their first two on the road. And in the last 5 years, that trend, if you fade these home teams, and there's four, we're going to get to all of them, they're 11-27 against the number. If you fade them, you're 27-11. If you get on those teams, you're 11-27. And Steve, you even took it all the way back. You and Brad took it back to 1989.
1989. These homecoming teams, if you will, are 28-52-4 against the spread, only 35%. And what I love about this trend, I love a trend that makes sense. Think about it. We're all creatures of habit. We come into the studio. We like doing the same thing for our prep week after week to put our best foot forward. Well, there's no routine for these teams at home because this is their first home game, and they've been on the road the last 2 weeks. So now they're staying at their hotel in their home city for the first time, the players are. They're going ahead and going over to the stadium, and they're not locked into that routine. And because of that, I could argue that they're not in the midseason groove, and it's impacted their performance week three.
And let me repeat again in English. These are home teams that you fade. Because if you faded these teams in the last 4 years, blindly, 5 years, you'd be 27-11. And Steve said since 89, 28-52-4. The first one involves the San Francisco Giants laying 6.5 against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And before I dive into this, here comes my heartfelt apology. So last week in our best bets, I gave out Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh was a good bet. There were lots of ways to justify it. A lot of sharps were. Ben Roethlisberger gets hurt. The rest is history. Pittsburgh doesn't cover. Who knows? Maybe they wouldn't have covered even if Roethlisberger hadn't gotten hurt. But they were leading with him in the game. But I digress. Let's move on. No excuses. Here's where the apology comes. I had one unit on that game. The other game that Steve and I talked about at length last week was Miami and New England. And I loved the under of 49. I had four units on that game. That game cashed. Steve, before I go along, real quickly, tell the folks, one unit versus four units, what does that mean?
Yeah, so professional gamblers don't bet the same amount on each and every game. Now,
right.
I actually recommend to recreational bettors, bet about the same on every game. Why? Because you probably aren't playing with an edge. So bet small and bet the same, and you're not going to get into trouble. But pro bettors are going to go ahead and have situations where they like really, really like a bet, and they do step up. I know a lot of professional gamblers, and we all step up, and we feel that we have the bigger edge. We'll bet more in terms of our unit size, but it's not like we can go out and bet everything we have on something. Nothing is a certainty, and frankly, nothing is probably more than about 57% for a bet in the NFL. But if you have a 57% bet versus a 53% bet, they're both profitable. We'll wager maybe four times as much.
That's the point.
On the really good bet because we have a bigger edge.
So if you bet $20 a game, one unit for you is $20. If you bet $100 a game, you get the picture. So if you're a $100 better, a four-unit bet would be $400. Well, I had a four-unit bet on Miami and the under, and it cashed. And I gave out Pittsburgh as my best bet, even though it was a one-unit play. I am sorry. I did you a disservice. That's not going to happen again. If I would have told you the best bet was the one I had the most money on, which would have been the truth, you would have cashed on the Miami under. So I want to get that out of the way, and I wish Roethlisberger hadn't gotten hurt. But again, let's look ahead because we want to mow through these four games. Pittsburgh is my first. I'm jumping right back on the horse, Steve. Pittsburgh not only falls into this 27-11 trend, but in the Ben Roethlisberger era, Pittsburgh is 10-6. When Ben Roethlisberger didn't play. Meanwhile, the 49ers, they may have looked good in the first two, but you dress them up as a favorite, and their last 16 games are only 3-13 against the number. I think San Francisco misses Joe Staley. The Pittsburgh Steelers bring in Minkah Fitzpatrick to shore up their defense. That shows, as you said earlier, Mason Rudolph has proven he can manage that offense. I think Pittsburgh goes in, keeps it close, possibly even wins. Their defense should be much improved with Minkah Fitzpatrick. He will be back in his original position, and he'll shore up a big hole. Steve, I like Pittsburgh plus 6.5 tomorrow against the Niners as my best bet.
And I like your play, Bernie. I can tell you that the professionals and the sharps like it as well. This opened up at 7, and the sharps all bet plus 7. That's why it's down to 6.5. And let's think about this. The teams that we talk about, these homecoming teams, arguably San Francisco's the worst situation of all the homecoming teams because they've been away from home for 9 days. They won in Tampa Bay, and then they spent a week in beautiful Youngstown, Ohio, bonding before they pounded the hapless Bengals, and I can see them coming home now and not being as focused and not being in their routine and suddenly not playing nearly as well.
Let's move along, Steve. Buffalo at home laying 6 against the Cincinnati Bengals, is the second of 4 teams that fits in this trend.
Yeah, but I would argue that Buffalo is in the best of the spots of these 4 homecoming teams because they haven't left their home state. They got to play Week 1 and Week 2, both of those games in New York City, in the same stadium. And because of that, it's not such a bad spot for Buffalo. This I know, Bernie. The Cincinnati Bengals, they lost 2 linemen during the preseason, and they can't block anyone. The Bengals are averaging less than 2 yards per rush. Can't trust the Bengals. Don't want the Bengals here.
I'm glad you laid that out the way you did. Remember, these trends, they have to correlate, and Steve just correlated that to something that would cause you to be cautious. You don't have to bet every one of these. And remember, a trend is a guideline. It's not an inflexible anchor. A key trend last week went 0-4 after going 14-1 the last 5 years. Kansas City, the 3rd team on the list, they're hosting Baltimore, laying 6.
Yeah, and I do think this is a bad spot for Kansas City. Think about it. They had to go to Jacksonville, then all the way out to the West Coast and play Oakland. Now they come home for their first home game, and they're not healthy. Now, we all know about Tyreek Hill, but their running back Williams is out as well. McCoy is not 100%. Their number 2 running back that's going to have to shoulder the load, and their left tackle is out. So all these injuries for Kansas City, and let's face it, Baltimore likely been playing possum, got to play the 2 worst teams in the NFL going into the season, Miami, and then they got to play Arizona. And because of that, I think there's a lot of wrinkles that Harbaugh is going to be able to show in this game.
Good stuff. And you pointed out earlier off air in our show prep, Baltimore has run the ball really well, and Kansas City has not been great at stopping the run.
They give up 6 yards, Kansas City does, per rush. That is ranked last in the NFL right now.
All right, our final game on the docket, having to do with this trend, 27-11 since 2014. According to Hoyles, you would fade the Indianapolis Colts. They are home laying 1 against the Atlanta Falcons.
Yes, and I did bet the Atlanta Falcons. I do like the Falcons plus 1.5, and there's a lot to like, I think, with Atlanta. You know, they're minus 3 in turnovers. Turnovers are largely random over the course of the year, but that's really why they got blown out against the Vikings, early season turnovers in Week 1. And the underlying stats for Atlanta are very good. So they look on paper like a really good team. And I think there's a key injury here for Indianapolis. They're missing their linebacker, Darius Leonard, and he is really a great player. That's going to be a big blow for Indy. I bet Atlanta.
All right, very good. So we look at these 4 games. Buffalo laying 6 against Cincinnati. Kansas City laying 6 against Baltimore. The Colts at home laying 1 point against the Atlanta Falcons. And my first of 2 best bets, the Pittsburgh Steelers catching 6.5 against the San Francisco 49ers. Again, the key behind this trend, these are Week 3 teams who opened up for their first 2 games on the road in the NFL, coming home to make their home opener in Week 3. Hope it gives you the edge you're looking for. I bet it will. Up next, we're going to take a deep dive into the rest of the slate. And oh, by the way, how about those 2 big 20-plus spreads? Jets, New England, Miami, Dallas. They are going to be at the top of the list. But first, let's go to the man who was a great premier high school running back in the day. Yes, he was constantly running back so he could mack on the cheerleaders. Let's go to Brian Finley with the latest.
Hey, as a UCLA person, how about the finish? Incredible, magnificent, mind-blowing. Here's how it went down.
Snap is off. It's a quick screen pass to Felton. He's got blockers in front of him. Dimitric Felton into the end zone. Touchdown, UCLA!
Nick Cope with the call for UCLA Learfield IMG College, and the Bruins stupefy 19th-ranked Washington State 67-63. The final, yes. The Bruins scored 50 second-half points. Keyshawn Lucier-South, who had missed the first 3 games with academic issues, came in with a game-clinching strip sack, and the Bruins were down by 32 in the 3rd quarter, and they cashed in after Chris Barnes forced a fumble late, recovered by Josh Woods. It seemed like the Bruins had missed an opportunity. They were 4th and 5 at their 13-yard line, and they turned it over on downs. The Cougs got it back. They ended up turning it over themselves. And Anthony Gordon, their quarterback, 9 touchdown passes. That shatters Gardner Minshew's previous record of 7 in a single game. But that is just a side note, a footnote. So how about the Bruins? win number one on the season for Chip Kelly. And one other score for you, Colorado taking down 24th-ranked Arizona State 34-31 thanks to a James Stefano 44-yard field goal with about 2 minutes left. Hey, an online car shopping can be confusing, but not anymore with True Price from True Car. Now you can know the exact price you'll pay for your next car. So visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Back to Bernie Fratto and the Geico Fox Sports Studios.
Well, congratulations to your Bruins. 67-63. I wonder if anybody fouled out, Steve. By the way, not for nothing. About an hour and a half ago, I was on with Arnie and Aaron. Arnie Spanier and Taurus every Saturday night, 8 p.m. Pacific. Great show. And the question came up because at one time, UCLA trailed by, what, 4 touchdowns?
They trailed by 32 points. And remember, they were an 18-point underdog as well. So they're not nearly as good as Washington State. And they're down 32 points. That basically is unsurmountable in pretty much every game except for this one, Bernie.
And here's the key. This is a key takeaway here because Arnie said he inquired when I went on the air to do my weekly hit with him. The score, UCLA crept back into the game, and it was 46-43. And Arnie said, man, what could I have gotten UCLA in in-game betting when it was – when they, you know, were down by 32 points, and they have that here. And Steve, what would the number have been?
Well, I estimated it. I didn't have it in front of me.
But 400 to 1.
And here's why I had it so large. Because at that point, it would have been ludicrous to say that UCLA had a 1% chance to win the game. Down 32, it has to be more like 1/10 of that. I'll say it's like 0.1%. So the true odds would have been more like 1,000 to 1. This is truly an unbelievable comeback.
Amazing. You never get tired of this stuff. I don't. What does it mean when Geico says just 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance? It means you probably should have gone to geico.com 15 minutes ago. Speaking of 1% chances, Steve, I'm being a little facetious. The Jets visit New England. New England, at one point, were a 23-point favorite, now down to 21. And as we pointed out earlier, 20-point-plus favorites in the NFL, 0-9 since 1992. And by the way, Tom Brady has never covered a 20-plus-point spread as a favorite, 0-4 in his career. Steve, how do you see this game, Jets-New England?
Well, I think, number one, we handicap the point spread here, and it makes a lot of sense, right, that even though you're a professional and the like, when you stare at the newspaper and you see that you're a 21-point favorite, you know you're going to win the game. And as it turns out, since 92, those nine teams that all failed against the spread, they all did win straight up. But even the Patriots have relaxed in this role, and the Patriots are 0-5 against the spread in this role the last times that they were laying 20 points. So I think the question is, well, is there any reason that the Patriots want to run it up against the Jets? And I might make the case with the Patriots having O-line injuries, they've got at least two O-linemen out, possibly a third in Cannon in this game, that I could see them just handing the ball off to Brady. And are the Jets going to play hard? Well, they weren't good against Cleveland Monday Night Football, but they did play hard.
Divisional game. So I would take a look at the dog here. We're going to revisit that later. The other huge favorite, the Dallas Cowboys hosting the Miami Dolphins. Cowboys laying 23. Now, this one has a decidedly different dynamic to the game, I think.
Yes, we know the Jets are going to play hard, but are they going to play hard, the Dolphins? And are they going to play hard with Rosen at quarterback? Well, I haven't seen the Dolphins play hard in weeks one or in weeks two. I can't trust them. I cannot bet the Dolphins in this game, Bernie.
I don't blame you. I don't think they should allow children under 16 to this game. It could be traumatic. And speaking of a team that's been traumatic since 1957, one playoff win, that would be my beloved Detroit Lions. They head to Philadelphia. Philly laying 6. Philly, a bit of a mash unit, Steve. What are your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, Philly's not laying 6 anymore. This spread has crashed down to 4.5.
You called it 2 hours ago. That escalated fast.
Well, you know what's happened is that everybody saw Philly play Sunday night against Atlanta, and they saw the injuries to the wide receivers for Philly. But it's not just the guys that aren't going to play. You got the situation where both their tight ends, Ertz got banged up, Goddard got banged up, and even Wentz had to go ahead and leave for a series. And the cluster injuries for Philly at defensive line as well. Remember, they got pressure on Matt Ryan because they had to dial up all these blitzes because their line wasn't able to bring that pressure with two guys out. So many injuries for Philly. This isn't professional bettors betting Detroit. It's professional bettors betting against the Eagles right now.
Is this a dummy move? And this happens in Las Vegas where syndicates can come in to move a line where they want to go, and they come in tomorrow on Philadelphia, and Philadelphia blasts them.
It's not a dummy move. There's a lot of reasons for the money coming in, but I will say that this is a follower move. And what do I mean by that? Nothing has changed in this game. We knew about all this injury information earlier in the week. So the pros came in, and they went ahead and took +7 on Detroit. And then they took 6.5, and then they took 6. And now a lot of people are just getting to the party and betting this underdog late.
Quick question for you. I want you to look into the Fezzik crystal ball. Do the Philadelphia Eagles in 2019 finish above 500?
Yes.
Then there's no way I'm backing Detroit. In his career, Matt Stafford, 6-54 against teams who finished above 500. And I will tell you, in my tenure covering the Lions, I covered two debacles in Detroit. I remember one was 2007-ish. I want to say they lost like 58-37. The Lions were the they. Sorry for being the master of the pronoun there. And the bottom line is Philly did whatever they want whenever they wanted. I got a funny feeling this is a – I'm not going to be involved in this game, but I got a funny feeling this is a get-right game for the Eagles tomorrow.
It's kind of like a State of Michigan thing, right? That that Michigan and Detroit can beat the bad teams, but they can't beat any of the good teams, right?
We could spend a week on that. Do you want to? No, I don't either. Let's move along, Steve. A game you had a lot to say about in pre-show prep. Houston, the Texans, will visit the L.A. Chargers – Chargers laying 3.5. This is an interesting game, although I lean Chargers.
Yeah, and I like Houston, and it's all about the Chargers' injuries. And we spoke about this last week. We had a best bet with Detroit against the Chargers, and the concern with the Chargers was, of course, so many injuries. So their best lineman is out, Okun. And they, frankly, the Chargers have a really subpar offensive line to begin with. And, of course, Gordon is out, but Eckler is playing well, hit the backup running back, but Eckler fumbles more often, so that's a concern. Their tight end, Hunter Henry, is out. Lots of injuries on the offense, but the one thing the Chargers had going for them is they weren't having all these injuries in one position. Now they have that at one position, defensive secondary. So they had all-pro safety, go out with a broken arm, Phillips, and, of course, now with four guys in the secondary injured, there's so many injuries for the Chargers, I have to look towards Houston. Frankly, Houston always seems to play close games, getting a head start with the points. I like Houston.
I'm not involved in the game, but I would lean Chargers. Remember, the Chargers were a favorite last week. They coughed up the game, two touchdowns called back in the same drive, fumbles, missed field goals. But the Chargers are 7-1 against the spread when they're coming home after losing straight up as a favorite. They lost last week against the Lions. Up next, we're going to get to New Orleans, Seattle, Carolina, Arizona, New York Giants, Tampa Bay, and much, much more, including best bets. So stick and stay. Don't go away. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. This is the pregame show you always wanted. Don't go away. You're listening to Straight Outta Vegas.
Straight Outta Vegas!
We are back on Straight Outta Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. I'm Bernie Fratto, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. And I want to remind you, Straight Outta Vegas is brought to you by Discover. Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn at the end of your first year automatically, with no limit to how much we'll match. Millions of people a year are getting their cash back match. Discover cash back match. What are you waiting for? Learn more at discover.com/cashback match. Before we go any further, I want to thank my guys back in LA. That would be Ryan Bershinger. Ryan, back in the saddle. Great job. Chris Perfett, and a happy birthday to Chris Perfett. If you're listening in West Coast time, that would be 11:46. Today is Chris's birthday. If you're listening any other time zone, it was Chris's birthday yesterday. You're going to have to wish him a belated happy birthday, and congratulations to Brian Finley and his UCLA Bruins. I'm sure Brian will go tear up the town tonight, 67-63. Great job, guys. And, of course, our on-site guru, Sleepy J, could not do the show without all of your help. Steve, let's get to an important game on the docket. New Orleans hosts Seattle. Seattle laying 4.5. I kind of like the home team. I think you kind of like the home team, but our esteemed guru, Sleepy J, has a has a dissenting opinion, and his opinion is usually very sharp.
Yeah, Sleepy made some excellent points on this game. Let me talk about why I bet Seattle. We started out with Seattle on a look-ahead line minus one. So Bridgewater replaces Breeze. I have that as being a six-point downgrade. So let's do the math. One plus six. Oh, that means Seattle should be laying seven in this game, and I can only had to lay four and a half in this game. So Seattle was cheap. So I actually bet Seattle. And just talking in studio here with Sleepy brings up some excellent points. Maybe Seattle's just not quite as good as we think they are. They obviously have problems on their offensive line. They did get outgained by 200 yards against the Bengals. They were lucky to beat the Bengals at home, frankly. And that Pittsburgh win, obviously it helped that Big Ben did go ahead and was ineffective in the first half and then got knocked out of the game. So because of that, it's certainly not a bet on Seattle. It's really a bet against Bridgewater that I did make, but Sleepy is in disagreement.
All right, good stuff. Let's move along. Carolina, Arizona. Frankly, Kyler Murray has been representing in the first couple of weeks. Carolina coming in with a backup quarterback. You've already addressed that point value. Who do you see? Who do you like in this game, Steve?
You know, I like Carolina plus the two, and it's all about value with Kyle Allen. That there's been a 5-point adjustment in this line because Cam is out, and I can't see Cam being worth 5 points. Cam's like one of the lowest rated quarterbacks right now because he's totally ineffective because of his health. And because of that, I think you're getting value playing on Carolina. Let's face it, Kyler Murray's been really good in the fourth quarter. He's been really bad in the first three quarters. And all Detroit Lion fans know this. Wow, was Kyle Murray bad for most of that game?
Well, that's very true. Now, one of the things about that game, this game, Carolina-Arizona game, if I'm not mistaken, Carolina opened up as a road favorite.
3-point favorite.
Right.
Yes.
It swung 5 points, so obviously you're taking advantage of that value, irrespective of the fact Cam is not starting. The New York Giants, another quarterback making his rookie debut, Daniel Jones, visits Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay laying 6.5.
I can only look at the Giants. I think the Giants go ahead and get a big energy bump up by having Daniel Jones start for them, even though I do have Eli rated right now the slightly better quarterback. And I'll tell you this, I don't think much about Jameis Winston and Tampa Bay. I know everyone's raving about how well he played against Carolina. Cam Newton lost that game for Carolina. Jameis really did his best to give it away in many ways, I think, and he just was not effective.
Steve, before we get to best bets and your look ahead, again, I want to remind everybody, last week at this time, Steve Fezzik really gave us some good advice, as it were, to take a look at the look ahead line, Green Bay hosting the Denver Broncos. I got on it at 6.5. It's now 7.5. Steve will have a look ahead line for you next week. But real quickly, let's squeeze one more in. The Raiders at Minnesota. You have a thought on this game?
You know, in Zimmer we trust. If you just blindly bet on Minnesota's coach Zimmer, you've cashed just about 2/3 of the time. And I know Kirk Cousins threw away the game against Green Bay. I could only look towards Minnesota. My power ratings favor the Vikings.
Sounds good. All right. Let's start with your look ahead game for next week. Again, last week at this time, the look ahead game was Green Bay hosting Denver, thanks to your prescient observations. I got the best of that number. I got Green Bay minus 6.5. They're now 7.5. Who's your look-ahead game for next week?
Let's go to America.
Week 4, excuse me.
Week 4, America's team, the Dallas Cowboys, are going to lay minus 2.5, minus $1.20 at the New Orleans Saints. I can't see anything happening that's going to make us bearish on the Cowboys. They're probably going to have a very easy time with Miami and look good. Their stats will get even better. And I would imagine next week there's a real good chance that we look at this line and Dallas may not only be minus 3, but might be higher than minus 3 against New Orleans. Let's lock in the Dallas minus 2.5 right now.
And 2.5 minus 120 at this point?
Yes.
But it's worth it. It's worth it to get that value, 2.5 better than laying 3.
Oh, absolutely. The 3 is everything. The most important number, of course, in NFL wagering.
All right, so let's jump to everybody's favorite portion of the show. Steve, what is your best bet for this week slate, week 3 of the NFL slate?
Well, we already bet on Green Bay last week, minus 6.5 in this game. I thought, you know, let's have two best bets on this game. Why not? Today, I got a weather update from my weather guy. Yes, I've got a weather guy, Bernie, who goes ahead and alerts me when the weather is changing, and there's a really good chance for some adverse weather in Green Bay, about 90% chance of rain that should go ahead and slow these teams down. And frankly, I don't like what I've seen from either offense from Denver and Green Bay. I was already leaning under, but now with some weather on top of it, I'm going to go ahead and play under 42.5, best bet.
All right, really, really good stuff, Steve. Before I get to my best bet, any closing thoughts on the slate tomorrow? Any late weather coming in? Anything you want to address in terms of what we might have missed since we signed on the show?
Yeah, just weather in Kansas City, certainly possible. We might see some rain there, and I think that that would favor Baltimore and certainly favor the under if we do see the rain in Kansas City as well.
All right, you always want to get the latest and best and the edge, and that's why Steve Fezzik is a professional bettor. And as you know, the only two-time winner of the prestigious Hilton, now Westgate Super Contest. And quickly, your bet, your two best bets?
Yeah, so best bet is Detroit Green Bay under 42.5. And the look-ahead best bet, we're going to go with the Miami Dolphins minus 2.5 at the New Orleans Saints week 4.
What current line do you show the New York Giants getting? Is it 6 or 6.5?
It's down from 6.5 to 6. Money has been coming in on the Giants. The feeling is that the team will respond to Daniel Jones.
I'm one of them. I like the New York Giants as my best bet. Second best bet tomorrow after the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Tampa Bay offense reminds me of the It Stephen King horror movie. I mean, you've got drama, you've got confusion, you've got twists and turns. It's frankly kind of hard to watch. Add to that, the Bucs, they're a paltry 0-7 against the spread in week 2 of their home games when they follow up with another home game. I don't like the Bucs. They implode. I don't like Jameis Winston. I can't make myself any more clear. So my two best bets, the New York Giants plus 6, the Pittsburgh Steelers plus 6. That's going to do it for tonight's edition of Straight Outta Vegas. He is Steve Fezzik. You hear him every week the remainder of the football season. Thanks, Sleepy, for all your help. Up next, sitting in for Jason Martin, it is Chris Plank tonight and The Chris Plank Show. Keep it locked.
Straight Outta Vegas!